shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening, Northern California. How are we doing? This is Nigel. And
great.
James. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing well.
Yes.
We're sharing a mic tonight. My wife is here, so.
I know. It's the Nigel, James, and Yvonne show for a little bit here.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
She decided to squeeze herself in.
Well, she has license to do that, I believe.
She does.
So it's been a great week. Lots of stuff going on today.
Love the weather.
It's almost starting to feel like Redding.
Yeah,
I think we have a few more weeks of up and down, but then I'm sure we'll cruise right on into the mid-90s for the rest of the summer.
Blaze it on through.
Right. So for those who don't know, our show is kind of a blend of California Adventure District and Enjoy Magazine and everything else Northern California. And
there's a lot.
There's a lot going on.
In this little room that goes on.
Yeah. A lot of stuff happening in Northern California. One of the big things for California Adventure District is the tourism, obviously, adventure tourism, but also the big one that's coming up is that's rising is agritourism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Agriculture and
which has been around forever, but it continues to, I think, stair step, right, and climb. Let me bend over. I'm on the high stool. It continues to climb, right, rising up the stairs. I mean, for years we've watched it grow and grow, and it just diversifies a lot more. And now we're seeing, you know, through the pandemic, it's actually
people are starting to
pay attention to all kinds of things.
Where did my food come from?
Yeah. Especially when, like, you know, we have First Fridays coming this Friday, and then Saturday we have hops and shops.
Yep.
And I had to go get some supplies for the kitchen for, you know, doing some of the things we want, and I went to one of the stores, and lo and behold, I kind of was gobsmacked to see that shelves were.
Yep.
I see that on, like, TV or YouTube, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm sure that's happening here and there, but it's happening here. there were empty shelves everywhere.
But speaking of agriculture, so our region is great, right?
Yeah.
We have a wide variety of agriculture, wide variety of food supplies, and one of the things that I want to talk to you with Brian Caples a little later on, who's our guest today, about as far as the whole school situation, it'd be great to get kids into learning about agriculture now, so that when the supermarket shelves are empty, you know, they actually know where their food comes from. Right.
Yeah, I think that would be smart.
One of the highlights for our region, and I'm sure Yvonne, you have much more context for this, is the honeybees.
Yes.
When I started researching the honey farms, the honeybee farms, it turns out there's not very many.
There isn't very many. So no, there's just a few. In fact, we do have quite a few, though, in Northern California. We've got some Palo Cedro, I think the Parks and Wootens. That's their territory. And then I work for Olivera's Honeybees, and they're in Orland. And Orland actually was coined as the Valley of the Queens.
Right.
The Valley of the Queen Bees, yeah.
And in this case, it's because of the honeybees.
Absolutely, yeah.
Sure.
Let's get that clear.
Well, and also one of the things to make clear is that there are people that actually keep bees. There are beekeepers or apiaries, but then there are those that are actually breeders as well, or both. And so we have to make the distinction that some of these bigger apiaries are also breeders of queens, which is a really important part of sustainability for the bee population, right? These people are producing hundreds of thousands of queens and shipping them all over the world and creating new hives.
And so genetically making them stronger to withstand any environmental impact.
I saw a cool little documentary on honeybees bees the other day that no matter what the weather, they can fly in a straight line. No matter the wind, because technically they're not supposed to be able to fly, but they actually technically levitate, which I thought was very interesting.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, you have to look into that. I'll show
you. Yeah.
But they'll fly in a straight line no matter what the situation.
And That is interesting. Yeah.
So why don't you share with us what you got going on?
Oh, sure. So it's our 14th annual Hobby Day. Now, hobbyists are those that are new to beekeeping. So what they're buying their hives from us, and they're actually called bee packages, and they come with about 3 pounds of bees and a queen. Or they can buy nooks, which is a five-frame nook or hive. It's already got brood, it's already got honey, and your queen, they're already populating. So you can buy either one of those, and that's online at ohbees.com. And this event is actually to pick up your queen, pick up your packages or your nooks. So it's on April 9th, but we always do a little bit of a festival along with it to support the bee industry. We have what's called the Hive Kitchen and Bar, and that's in Orland. That'll be open, and we have great dining. We have a brand new bar that just opened up. We have a product called Keeper's Shine. This is a honey shine, and we sell that as well. We have a florist, and we have a plant area. We have a dog park. We have, it's pretty interesting.
So how much is it to get into?
It's free.
No,
yeah.
To get into, to pick up your bees.
I don't know the cost of the actual bee package.
You get to meet the queen ahead of time to make sure you get along.
Hobbyist,
make sure match,
I would say
you
know? This. Hobbyist, meet your queen.
Meet your queen. Make sure there's a match.
I did this last year and got my queen and my 3 pounds of bees.
Mm-hmm.
And started my hive in the backyard. We live in the garden track. Mm-hmm. So here in Reading, there is an ordinance that allows you to have one hive in your backyard if you're within the city limits, just like you can have a few hens.
Yes, and you shaved me. You shared some honey with me.
So we recently harvested, and we were able to take out 75 pounds of honey from our backyard, which we did share the honey with many, many people, and Yvonne actually took it down to some people that, you know, obviously have great taste buds and things like that. Mm-hmm. And they said that our honey was one of the best honeys they'd ever had.
The floral notes were incredible. Yeah. James actually put a lot of
floral. So when is this? This is April?
April 9th, Saturday, April 9th. Starts at 8 o'clock a.m. Goes until 4 o'clock. In Orland, just right off I-5.
And they can go where to find out more information?
OHBs, OHBEES.com.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we should
Thanks
go.
For having me.
April 9th. okay, let's get into our guest. He's a return guest. Two return guests, right? Mr. Brian Caples is running for the Shasta County Superintendent of Schools. So we have Brian Caples here and Katie Gorman, who, you know, you just play with crayons. Is that what it is you do?
Yeah, I just color all day.
You're a preschool teacher.
Yeah, kindergarten.
Kindergarten.
I did have some TK students, but now I'm just straight kinder.
Okay.
All these words, TK.
I know, mm-hmm. Right?
What was that?
Transitional kindergarten.
Oh. I was like, what is that? Oh, no.
All kinds
new
of stuff.
New words, new acronyms. I can't keep up.
I think this season we're learning all kinds of new stuff. So, Brian, you are running for Shasta County Superintendent of Schools. Last time you were on here, you were just getting the campaign started and had no idea what to expect. And here you are a few months into it. And how's it going?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. It's going great. It's going great. I cannot believe the support that I've gotten from people in this community. It just astonishes me how many people have woken up, I guess, so to speak, to what's going on in the schools and what's going on in the educational world. Just wonderful. I mean, just wonderful, wonderful people. People wanting to get involved. People that have been on the sidelines for far too long are talking to me about, well, what can I do? What does it take to run for school board? Would that be something that I could do? I talked to a lot of people about that topic in particular because I think it's an important one. But just, it's been wonderful, Nigel. Thanks for asking.
Well, us professional conspiracy theorists said way in the beginning they're coming for your kids. At some point, it's going to switch to kids, right? So 2 weeks to flatten the curve turned into 2 years, 4 boosters, and now we're on the verge of kids having to may or may not be have to be vaccinated to go back to school this next coming season. So this was the end of the first segment. When we come back, I want to dive into the details of that that particular topic that's coming up. So we'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good evening, Northern California. We're getting into a very detailed conversation about honeybees. And
I think the conclusion is
that we need to have one full hour on honeybees.
But we always forget we come back so quickly, and we're in the middle of a conversation.
Well, on the break, it's a one dive into the Van Halen song. So we will set a date, and we'll have a whole show on honeybees, because that fits right in. So Mr. Brian Caples and Katie Gorman, we're on the verge of kids vaccinated, not vaccinated, yes or no. What are you hearing?
Well, actually, currently, the mandate from Governor Newsom still stands that if our FDA approves the vaccine for kids ages 12, or, well, I guess it would be 7th grade to 12th grade, then they cannot go to in-person instruction after July 1st. So they are meeting soon to discuss that. So a lot of people are thinking that...
So what would happen to the school system if, like, parents just say, you know what, then they're not going to school?
Well, I think especially a lot of people in Shasta County are asking that question. After October 18th, we had 46% of our students walk out that day. So in Shasta County, that is very much a concern. I think there's a few other counties were really close to ours. And it says in the mandate that they can get a religious exemption with the mandate, but they will be put on independent study. Also, we're going to have a little bit of a crisis because our teachers who are not vaccinated will not be able to teach. So we're looking at a huge problem where teachers can't teach in person and kids can't go to school in person. And we all know that, you know, even if you call it independent study or distance learning or whatever you call it, it's fake. Mm-hmm. I mean, I put so much work into that day and night and tried to make it as amazing and interactive as I could, making my own slides and all different kinds of stuff. But in the end, those kids, they weren't engaged.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't learn, and so a lot of us teachers, we called it fake.
Well, you can't control the, I mean, you know, God bless parents, but you can't control what goes on at home, right? And quite often the home is just a place for kids to hang out. And if there's no supervision or, you know, parents are working, you know, they don't always get to do what they're supposed to do, or they don't do what they're supposed to do.
Well, unfortunately, you know, the other thing is we have expectations that have changed a lot.
Uh-huh.
We don't teach kids anymore that a 2 is the number 2. We teach them that it's 2 dots. We teach them 2 tally marks, 2 on the number line. It's very, very, very complex. So, you know, a lot of times you're asking parents to teach kids not how they learned either. So
they don't know what they're doing.
It is. We put a lot of stress on the family, mm-hmm. and it was really stressful for them. So in a lot of ways, I don't blame the parents because, you know, you're telling them, okay, learn this other language and then turn around and be so good at it that you have to teach your kids. And then they're kicking and screaming and upset the whole time, and your relationships are being, you know, broken down. It's a mess. And so a lot of us, we're really opposed to this, and they're doubling down in the legislature right now in the fact that they are trying to not only mandate these things, but they're trying to legislate them. So,
and it's so interesting to me, and this is just my perspective, and maybe it's because we live in Reading, or maybe I'm just an idiot and live in my own bubble, which I'm okay with, but it seems like, I mean, you don't even hear about COVID so much anymore. It's not really on the news. It's, you know, I watched a thing the other day that Fauci's getting ready to retire or resign or whatever it is, and I'm just like, where did it all go? I mean, the hysteria isn't there anymore. And so why do they continue pushing this narrative that it's like life or death for these kids when, you know, what was it? This, I just read the CDC just came out with revised death numbers across the United States. And the first round of percentiles that they dropped was deaths in the age group of school kids dropped by 24%, and then 2 days later they dropped it another 17% as far as they had calculated wrong, and there was a glitch in their system on how many kids died. I mean, it's absurd that how they just keep rolling back from these numbers, you know, and then they just keep, but they keep pushing these mandates, you know.
Well, now you're getting into conspiracy theory.
Well, it's not
territory, which is my neighborhood.
Your neighborhood,
but
I would say conspiracy, yes, but if it weren't just posted as like the CDC said it themselves.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. We went from 2 weeks to flatten the curve to 2 years, and you know, four boosters and all this stuff. So in 2 years, there's enough time now, and there are enough resources that if you really wanted to go find out what's going on, as an individual, you can, right? It involves turning off your mainstream media or go look somewhere else, right? But if you really want to figure out what's going on or make some edumacated decisions, you know, you can go find that. Mm. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I was somewhat awake when the whole COVID thing happened, but the vaccine thing, I was never an anti-vaxxer. I mean, I'd never considered myself. I was ignorant. I didn't know. But I think for a lot of us, remember, the moment the COVID-19 started, one of the first people to come up was Bill Gates, right there in the beginning of March. And the first thing he said is, the whole world is not going to get back to normal until the whole world is vaccinated. And I was like, what? Like, half the world doesn't even know what's going on, and he's already calling for the whole world to be vaccinated. At that point, you realize, okay, there's like, what's going on here? So I'm one of those who did a deep dive onto the whole vaccine thing because I was completely ignorant. Our girls are vaccinated up to 3 years ago. So, but what was eye-opening to me for kids when I started looking into it was the current vaccine schedule, right? And when you look at it as a chart, it's kind of interesting because in 1962, kids were required to take 5 doses of vaccines, right? OPV, smallpox, and DTP, just 5 doses. In 1983, it went to 24 doses, 24 vaccines. In 2019, it went to 72. So in a short amount of time, we went from 5 to 24 to 72 doses of vaccines for kids up until between 0 and 18 years of age. And that's when I said, okay, I've got to research this some more. Because I didn't understand that. It doesn't make sense to me that in that much time, you pretty much multiplied the required vaccines by 10, 12, 15 times, right? So that's why I think there's so much vaccine hesitancy right now, because a lot of people woke up, right? So, Brian, if parents want to say no, can they say no?
Absolutely, as far as I'm concerned. I don't think it's the government's business who's been vaccinated. I don't think it's the government's business who wears a mask. So, you know, we don't have to follow unjust laws, right? We don't have to do that. So, I believe in parent choice. If a parent wants to get their child vaccinated, by all means, get the vaccinations. That's wonderful. But we're not going to force people to do it. I'm certainly not going to force anyone that works for me or works under me, to do that. That's un-American as far as I'm concerned.
So if we switch from mandate to legislature, right? Because that's a different. That's a hinge point. When something's a mandate, it's not a law. But when it's legislated, it's a big word.
I know.
Then it becomes law, right? And so what happens then if a school district says, nah, you know what? Or a school board says, nah, we're not going to do it.
Well, let me ask you this question. If they brought back slavery, would you get a slave?
Not today.
If it was legal, right? No, because that's an unjust law, right? That's an unjust law. We don't follow unjust laws. So, they could try, right? You know how many times I've been threatened to be sued in my 13 years as a school district superintendent?
Lots and lots.
How many I've lost?
None.
Right. So, in other words, if this does go through or something goes through, I don't know. It seems like it would be a very touchy thing to push through. But if it goes through and enough parents here say no and enough teachers say no, then you would obviously be, if you were the superintendent, you'd be in a position to at least provide the vocal support for the parents and the teachers, correct?
And a lot of financial support too. A lot of support for to hire positions that would fill some needs if that would happen to arise. The County Office of Education here in Shasta County is a $30 million budget. It's not a small entity, right? So it's $30 million a year plus. So we need to be using those funds to meet the needs of kids anyways, right? Not starting programs that aren't effective, not hiring middle managers to run programs. Right, we need to spend those. We need to make sure that people like Katie Gorman's class has pencils, has paper, has everything that they need to do. I bet she hasn't been on a field trip in years, right? Remember field trips? We would all go as a class. We'd take.
She's
our
barely
lunches.
Had school for years.
Oh, those. Let me tell you, those were some of the best days of my career. And I'm not talking about as a kid. I'm talking about as an adult, as a teacher, as a principal. How fun it is to go explore something new, right? Mm-hmm. To go up to the caverns. And explore and talk about the stalactites, the stalagmites. Take the little bus up, the windy road. And just, it's a whole day and an adventure. A lot of our kids don't get to do those types of things. And now they want us, what they want you to do is to do it virtually. Well, that's not quite the same thing. How fun is that? So I would like to see more things go just directly to our kids. Because that's really what it's all about. The average school district that I've worked at, and I've worked in a number of school districts over my 30-year career, the average school district spends 80 to 90% of their money on salary and benefits.
That's criminal.
80 to 90%.
Don't get me wrong. Teachers need to be paid. As far as I'm concerned, they're godsends, really, to have to put up with all that. However, I'm sure, teachers could get paid more if administration kind of was streamlined in a way that was just focused on, what are kids there for? They're there to learn, and that's what you do, and there's not all this other garbage that goes on.
I agree. You took the words out of my mouth, because when I was a teacher, I had a principal, and then we had a superintendent. Now, in between that, you've got project directors, you've got assistant superintendents, you've got this glut of people in management, and that's taking the money from the kids. Of course we've got to pay teachers, and we want to pay them salaries consummate to especially the area that we live to make mm-hmm. sure that they can make a good living. We want to make sure that they have what they need. And but we can do that by cutting out the middleman, just like you would in government, right? How many everybody's a manager, everybody is a supervisor, mm-hmm. If you got a supervisor supervising three people and then a supervisor above them supervising three supervisors and a supervisor above them supervising three of them, well, come on, right? That's not how the system should work.
Are you saying there may be some bureaucratic layers?
Mm-hmm. I'm saying there, absolutely. Well, Nigel, you said it. I'm not even going to say it.
So speaking of that, I'm not privy to really any of this. It's just things that I hear when I watch news and all the other things. But, one of my brothers is a teacher, and I've always kind of heard that once you're a teacher and you get in and you're, I guess the term is tenured or past your tenure, whatever, it's pretty much impossible to remove a teacher. Is that accurate?
Well, that's a good question. It's not impossible. What it is expensive.
Mm.
There's so much legislation, so many legal hoops that you'd have to jump through to get somebody terminate them. It ends up costing, and I'm going to say close to $500,000 is what it would cost you to get rid
and
of
them. Is that just legal issues, or is that like having to pay them, to leave?
Would be if you went through the whole termination process, it would cost a fortune.
Now, explain to me. I know we've got to go to a break here in a minute,
seconds.
So maybe when we come back. But how is it that most Americans can work somewhere, and if they don't do their job properly, they can be terminated and let go, but a teacher doesn't have to go through that same process? Because to me, the biggest issue really is, you know what, there are teachers and then there are teachers, right? Like, I see what my brother does. I'm assuming you're kind of, when I've talked to you over and over again, one of those teachers. There are teachers that are brilliant and they do their job and they are there for the kids. And then there are those teachers that are just wretched people that should not be doing the job. And why they get to stay is beyond me, because nobody else gets to do that.
When we get back from the break, Brian will answer that.
Oh, okay.
We'll be right back.
All right.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good evening, California, and we're back.
We're still going crazy behind.
Yeah, you guys are just babbling. This is Nigel and my trusted cohort, co-pilot James Mazzotta. How you doing?
I'm good.
And we have our special guests, Brian Caples and Katie Gorman, with us.
Yes.
Campaign season is heating up.
Yeah.
And one of the campaigns...
I see the signs everywhere.
Yeah. One of the campaigns that's definitely heating up is that for Shasta County Superintendent of Schools. And, Brian, you seem to be getting a lot of... a lot of publicity. People are throwing your name around like crazy. Are you getting support from teachers?
Some teachers. The teachers that are tired of what's going on, and the teachers that are tired of having their classroom and their control taken away. You have to remember, when I was a teacher, the school district, they would give us the standards that I needed to teach. Let's say, for instance, I taught 7th grade science. So we were given standards. 7th grade science is life science. So one of the standards might be, you know, the student needs to learn about a cell, the parts of the cell, how cells work, etc. Well, we were given the ability to just make sure that our kids knew that, right? We just make sure that your kids know the standards, right? And we could cover them in the way that we saw fit. Well, in the early 2000s, we started using more program, right? Technology started to take over. So we start using programs, and then the teachers would have to implement the program, and then they'd have to implement the program to fidelity, right? And mind you, most of these programs don't work, and 2 or 3 years later, they get put on the shelf, and then we get a new program. So any teacher that's been in the classroom for 10 or more years has just seen this happen and happen. So one of the problems is we're not giving our teachers ability to teach their kids in the way that they see fit. Katie teaches kindergarten. I can guarantee you the classroom that's next door to her, that also the teacher that teaches kindergarten, those two classes, they're both kindergarten teachers. They both have 30-something kids in their class, et cetera, right? On paper, they look the same. But if I were to go into those classrooms, her classroom is going to have a whole different atmosphere than the classroom next door. That's just the way it is, right? Everybody's personality is different. All the kids work different. The teachers work different. So what works in Katie's classroom might not work next door. So teachers are constantly having to maneuver, you know, to think about, okay,
well,
how can I do this? How can I do that? What can I do to make sure I get little Johnny, little Susie, to make sure that they get what they need? So to me, we need to get rid of 90% of these programs that don't work. And let me tell you, these programs are unbelievably expensive. Right.
Can you give an example?
Well, just name one of them, right?
Expensive for who? The state?
Well, for the school districts, because not only do you have to buy the program, right? And it comes with technology, and most of them come with with everything that you'd think, all the bells and whistles. But then even the training is unbelievably expensive. Right? Thousands and thousands of dollars. Yeah, thousands and thousands of dollars.
I didn't even know that. I just assumed the educational department of our state is required. They put together these programs, and then they hand them to you as a school because that's part of the obligation of schooling, right? I mean, technically, kindergarten through 12th grade, school is free. Why is the school having to buy programs if they're not even given a choice?
Well, they're put together by private industry.
So they are.
A lot of money changes hands. I've written some big checks over the years. We're talking a fortune just for these programs. So
in 2020 alone, the global educational just technology market alone is $89.49 billion. So that just gives you an idea
the wrong business.
Right there. It is an extremely, a lot of money. And every single time they come and it kind of seems like what they do is they come in with the hammer. And they come into your classroom and they take something away and they just throw down the gauntlet, send you to training, teach you a whole new language, and, you know, you got to change everything you're doing and switch everything up, all new materials. A lot of times in math, it'll be all brand new manipulatives, all that kind of stuff. And
Most textbooks out now these days? You're not really using textbooks anymore. Is most things digital? Is it computer and iPads or things like that?
No, we still have a lot of textbooks and workbooks and things like that.
How long does a workbook, in your opinion, last these days? I mean, because I remember growing up and I'd open a book and it was 25 years old.
Oh no! They have a lot of limits on that now. I think Brian's better at knowing that.
See, to me again, then you know what? Schooling is not green.
Well, let me tell you what they do. They make sure that every year you have to buy those workbooks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the workbooks are not cheap.
No, I'm getting this now. Right? I'm starting to figure out how this is working.
Follow the money, James.
Let me give you like a 30,000-foot view. For every dollar the state takes in of your tax money, right,
mm-hmm.
one out of every $3 is spent on K-12 education. So K-12 education, I'm not talking college either, right? Yeah. We've got all the state universities, the community colleges all over the state. So one out of every $3 is spent on K-12 education. So if you think about it, K-12 education is just a huge tentacle of the government. That's what it's become, because they're teaching the state wants us to teach our kids at a very young age about sexuality, like second grade, about sexuality, about gender. I'm sorry, my kids don't need to learn about those things. Then I didn't learn about those things not too far before I got married.
So is that going in the biology section now?
I guess so. I don't even know because it's absolutely crazy, right? You're going to see there's about. What, 10 laws, Katie, coming out in the next, or not laws, but they're going through the Senate and the Assembly. Just some crazy laws. Like, for example, the age of consent to get a flu shot or to get the shot is going to be 12. So, I'm sorry, my 12-year-old doesn't get to make the decision. That's a parental decision. So, and there's so many of these laws in the going through right now. Or in session with the legislature that I don't even remember them all. I'd have to have a list in front of me just to look at them. They're absurd. And I'm going to tell you what, 9 out of 10 of them I'm not doing. I will not enforce those laws, even if they're laws. I don't care. Take our money, take my car, do whatever you want. Well, I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm. The sad part about the curriculum is that they spend all of that money on that curriculum and, teachers don't use it. They don't. It's a lot of times it's not even written by teachers. It makes no sense. There'll be some group of people that decided that they want to make a curriculum that involves science and teaching kids how to read. It just makes absolutely no sense once you
smuggle your own books into the classroom?
No. Actually, teachers have the autonomy. As long as they're teaching the standards, they can use their own materials, especially supplemental materials.
Well, it sounds like that's
what we buy our own. We create our own stuff. And a lot of times it's a kajillion times better than anything that they're going to provide to us. So you're doing double duty. Basically what you're doing is buying all this curriculum, making these, you know, fat cats even richer, and then you've got the teacher down here at the bottom who's spending all this money either creating things and trying to sell things on Teachers Pay Teachers or buying things themselves on Teachers Pay Teachers.
It'd be really interesting to see if you could get, I don't know, if it, even one area or multiple areas in the state where parents would be allowed to sign consent forms for their kids to go into schools, and the state allowed those schools to 100% be autonomous in regards to education. I'm talking about just education in general. And let that go on for a little while as an experiment to see what kind of results they would get with students, you know, when teachers, educators are allowed to actually, you know, develop, especially with teachers that are interested in educating and the well-being of their kids versus just following a mandate and not being, you know, really interested in knowing they have tenure and like not giving a, you know what. I'd be curious to see what kind of results you would get, right? I bet there'd be a ton of parents that would really be willing to do that because it would be really interesting to see what kind of outcomes you'd come, you know, from kids from, I mean, you know, I assume somebody could say, well, that's stupid because it'd be really scary. Some of these kids could be really screwed up. And I'm thinking to myself, they can't be any more screwed up than they already are. Because I can't even tell you, I live right next to a grammar school, and the stuff that I listen to with those kids on the playground, because like ear throws away and listening to them talk and being on the track, and then, you know, if I go out to walk my dog or whatever, the things that they scream and yell at me is just disgusting. It's unbelievable. I don't even know how I don't even know how you guys tolerate it, because I can barely stand it. It's just awful.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I, as a principal or superintendent of that school district, I wouldn't tolerate it, right? That would, that we wouldn't want that happening. I think one of the issues is that when dealing with that, it's not our teachers, right? I don't want anyone to think that we're bad mouthing our teachers or I would say anything negative about our teachers. It's not the teachers. We have some of the teachers are the hardest working, most caring people in the world.
A lot of them are. Yeah, most of them are.
You'd have to be to continue to do it. The problem is administration. Right. Think about what happened over the last couple of years. If you forced me to stay home and not be able to socialize with my peers, made me wear a mask so I couldn't see the facial expressions on my peers' face, constantly just in this state of stress and anxiety for 2 years, that's what happens. Right? You get the kids get out of control.
Look at most adults across the country. Right. There's crazy people everywhere now.
And that's where they're running. Well, think about this. In Anderson, at Anderson Cascade School District, the kids are having fight club in the bathrooms. Because the kids have been just neglected and basically abused for the last couple of years. And now people wonder, well, why are our kids fighting?
Well, a really sad thing happened today at Turtle Bay School. They called the police today that a girl was cutting herself and locked herself in the bathroom. Mm. Police had to arrive on the scene. I heard about that today.
That's horrifying.
You know, I just pray for her. She's okay. But, you know, we've been really worried when these masks were going to come off. There's those kids that want to still wear them. And we've been worried about those kids. So I don't know that she was one of those. But I know that Turtle Bay School was one of those ones that were very much sticklers about the masks.
That's a sad state of affairs that we're at that point now. We're over 2 years, you know, kids have gone so
used to. For some of these kids, it's almost kind of at the age that it started and 2 years in, that's a big span in somebody's life that's that young. It almost has become part of their now identity. They don't even know how to function without it, right? It's like it's just a psyche thing now, you know. And it, you know, jeez, it just blows my mind that
we've done more damage than we have done good. You can't do that to kids for 2 years and expect good things to come out of that, and then wonder why. I heard not too long ago the County Office of Education has an initiative to get our attendance rates back up. Well, I could fix that real easy. Quit telling kids that aren't sick to go home. Right? Yeah. Boom, attendance goes up. So it's not rocket science. You've created this problem yourselves, and now you don't want to take the responsibility for it. So now someone like me has to come in and clean up the mess. And luckily, God gave me the fortitude and the attitude to be able to do it. We're going to clean it up. We're going to make things right. And we are going to do what's right for our teachers. And we are going to do what's right for our kids. And we are going to do what's right for Shasta County, not what's right for Sacramento.
There you go. Thank you very much. We'll be right back with the last segment.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back, Northern California, Nigel and James. And we have our guests, Brian Caples and Katie Corman. Katie, what were you going to say?
Earlier we were talking about where they get all this health information that they're pushing on these kids. Where does that come from? And my friend just texted me, it's the health framework. It's officially called the health framework.
So, Brian, if you win, sounds like you're going to have your work cut out for you, man.
Well, it's funny because it's almost easier than having to go start a bunch of stuff. What we need to do is stop a bunch of stuff. That's really easy. We need to stop training our teachers in critical race theory, revisionist history, gender confusion. We need to do the same for our kids. So those are easy to stop. We will not be doing any of those programs. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, they don't call it that. They use terms like equity and inclusion. They use these wonderful sounding terms to push it. So I just want to be, you know what I want for our kids? I want them to come back to what we would consider normal. I want to make sure that by the time they leave our schools, that they're ready to go on to either college, trade school, the workforce, the military, right? We want to make sure that they're set up for success. And we're not doing that right now. And if you've been in a position of leadership, whether it be for the school district, the county, the city, whatever position of leadership that you're in, you're part of the problem. Right, you got us into this mess. Now other people have to come in and clean it up. I would not want to have on my sign right now, re-elect. That wouldn't be something that I think people would want.
Yeah, especially because when I see it, I think reject.
Well, I'm just saying, right? Because who's going to want somebody who the functioning, you know, high-functioning person with a lick of sense is going to want to re-elect anyone that's in office right now, especially in Shasta County. And I'm not saying that to be mean. That's just a fact. These people have got us in this mess. Now, you'll notice that there's a number of other people running, and they're good people, hardworking people, family people, God-fearing people. Those are the people that we need to give the shot at to make sure we clean this mess up.
Well, you know, it's not even just all this stuff going on with the pandemic. I was speaking with a mom who is in the process of adopting 3 children that have a lot of adverse childhood experiences, going through a lot of behavior issues. Her youngest is having some really bad issues at school, and she's really trying to get some help and get some people at the table to get him some services and help. She had to do that herself. She had to go and call Victor Services and call Children Legacy Center and all the different people to get them at the table herself. Now, I understand that our county office is supposed to have a program that is called Community Connect. And I said, have you ever heard of Community Connect? She said, no. I said, how did all those people get at that table? She said, Well, as I went along and I learned that they existed, I called them myself. So that's unfortunate to find out that, you know, we have somebody over there at the county office, maybe several people, drawing a salary to be our community connect people. And, you know, we have a mom sitting over there not getting what she needs to support her family and to make sure that these kids get what they need to be whole. I was pretty frustrated to hear that. So what I think that we need to do is so I work at a school that if there's a school in Shasta County that needs to know about Community Connect, it's the one I work at. Now, I never heard of that. And so these people are sitting over there with these programs and they're not making it to the kids. That is unfortunate. It's wrong. And to me, it's because they're sitting back collecting their paychecks and they're not doing their jobs. So they need to go. And I'm very passionate about that because I want to see these kids get what they need and what they deserve. So there are programs out there that we definitely need to keep, but we need to make sure that they're efficient and that they're working.
So I think, you know, my two cents is I think you should bring back, you know, rock and roll classes, you know, music classes. Teach kids how to play musical instruments and read music, right? Get that creativity going. This is, you know. There's something cool about 5-year-olds and 10-year-olds.
Have you heard music lately? You don't have to be talented to do anything.
I know. Just it's too bad.
A computer augments AI corrects everything.
I do know
everything.
That when they started to remove creativity out of the schools, a lot of kids got left behind because, you know, getting kids into a creative mindset right from the get-go is like, you know, vital for all the other, things that need to be taught, right? Okay, so your campaign's doing pretty well. How can people reach you? What's going on? What's coming up?
Well, our website is votebriancaples.com, and we've got a lot of dates here coming up. Tomorrow night, Brian will be at the Freedom Coalition meeting at 5 p.m. If you want to find out about that, it's shastafreedomco.com. And then April 6th, Gold Hills Golf Course, what time?
I think 5:30 for that.
5:30 for that. April 8th at Happy Valley Community Center, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Now, all these things will be on the website here soon, too. Friday, April 15th, Shingletown Pizza Parlor at 5:30 to 7.
Pizza, I'm hungry.
Yeah. you can go there, talk to Brian. It'll be a pretty casual event there. Shasta Lake City at the Win 2 building on April 22nd from 5 to 7. We're going to do some more dates up in Bernie as well. We'll make sure that we hit those up as well.
So it sounds to me like you're making yourself pretty readily available then.
Absolutely, absolutely. You wouldn't believe for the last several weeks I've been doing coffee with Caples on Friday mornings from 8 to 10, and we've went around to various places in the community. What a wonderful response we've had. We've had one time we didn't have anybody show up, so I got to get some work done and visit with a friend. And then other times we have 10 or 12 or 15 people show up. So it just kind of depends on that. So what we've done is we put those on hold for now. The last one we did, which was probably one of the most fun, we did at the Cottonwood Barbershop. So in the barbershop, a bunch of guys came in there, a bunch of gals came in, and we had a great time. It was so fun. And those guys weren't used to having women in the barbershop.
Some updos and things.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, Woody was great. We just had a good time. We just talked about everything. You know, we talked about school, about life. So we won't be doing those for at least the next few weeks minimum, just because we're trying to do things at night so that people can come after work, because we know not everybody can come from 8 to 10 in the morning. So we kind of want to mix it up now so that we can have some of these different functions. So, yeah, a number of these, there'll be other candidates there, too. So it's not just me. So come and visit all the candidates, and we're all doing that. And we just think it's so important to be transparent, to be open. Come ask me questions. If you've got a question about education, If I don't know the answer, I'll find it for you and I'll get back to you.
You'll circle back.
Absolutely. I'll actually do that, right? So I think it's really, really important to be open and available, right? I mean, it's the other alternative is to do the Joe Biden thing and not come out of your house until the election's over. So we're not going to do that. But I think it's just important that everybody has the information. They know what I stand for. Right? And what I stand for is the kids, the community. I will not do, I've lost jobs because I won't do things that school districts want me to do or that I don't believe in. I've lost jobs. And I always tell people, I'll lose another one if I have to. Mm-hmm. Right? If I'm going to protect those kids, I'll lose another one. Right?
So people can find your schedule on Facebook, on your Facebook page, and also on the website, I believe.
We've just confirmed a number of these dates and places, so neither one of them are on the website yet, and I think we're still confirming another date or two and a place or two. So in the next couple of days, you'll be able to get on. And on Facebook, we're on Elect Brian Caples. So that'll all be updated as soon as everything is times, dates, places are set. But these ones that Katie just talked about, those are set right now. So hopefully we'll have a few more.
So let's wrap this up with this. So, Katie, you have your ear to the ground as far as schools and teachers and all that. What's the atmosphere feel like this season?
Well, I think getting the masks off has helped a lot, especially with rapport. And you don't have as much of the you know, the masks separating people, like, you know, the virtue signalers versus the, you know, just regular people here to work and we don't care about, you know, COVID thing and all that stuff. So it was very separating. And I think people are starting to kind of come together a lot more. And it feels really good right now, we're kind of in a good place. And then we had a rainy day recess a couple days ago, and people were asking me about Brian, asking me about the upcoming bills. And it seemed like everybody was just really on the same page, like just ready to, you know, see this stuff go away, get the mandate off the table. You know, people are saying more and more people should have the choice. And a lot of people are kind of going, well, you know, I never really heard about what was going on in the Shasta County Office of Ed until COVID, and what do they even do? So they're asking those kind of questions. They're good questions, and looking over at Brian to, you know, kind of pave the way on teaching these school boards what their jobs are, what their abilities are, what their rights and their responsibilities are, and showing them, you know, that they do have the choices and they can make, make it to where these kids don't have to have masks if they say, oh, our numbers go up again or something.
Do you notice
like that.
A lot more teachers waking up, quote unquote, waking up and starting to pay more attention?
Well, just to let you know, in the district that I'm in, there's not a single unvaccinated teacher that is currently testing right now. So we are strength in numbers. Nobody's getting fired in my district right now because of that, because there's too many of us. So where I'm at, it's looking really good.
James, what you got? We're gonna part this show. Would you ever consider running for office?
Like I said, my heart and my mind says that might be interesting, but I somewhat volatile. I don't deal with. Yeah, injustice and, you know, just, I don't know. There's just so much of it that just makes me a crazy lunatic.
I think for me, it would be really hard, the lies that people say about
well,
you.
There you go.
And that,
oh, there you go.
And try to spin you into somebody that you're not. Yeah. That, to me, would be the hardest thing to deal with.
The whole idea of just being able to speak and just saying, you know, oh, this is my truth, you know, that's not okay with me. I understand that people have experiences and what you kind of do is from your experience, but there is still truth that's real and concrete. It's not just fabricated by somebody's sphere of, you know, mind, right? You know, so I don't know.
Brian Caples, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's always good just to talk about all this stuff, you know. It's kind of
see you in 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Ciao.
Bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.